Hello there, and welcome to the Nutrition Diva Podcast. I'm your host, Monica Reinagel. Today, I have some advice for those who want to help their friends and their family eat healthier, and also some tips for those who are just starting out on the healthy eating journey. I frequently get emails from readers and listeners asking for advice on behalf of someone else who they care about. One young lady is worried about her brother's horrible eating habits. How do I convince him to take better care of himself? She wants to know. Or Alyssa, who wrote, "There are some folks in my life that think they're eating healthy and exercising well, but they're not, and it shows. What are some good tips for those just starting out on the healthy eating journey, and how might we present these tips to them?" Another wrote for advice on how to help her husband, who needs to lose a lot of weight. Really, what she wanted to know is how to get her husband to take my advice instead of listening to his mother, who apparently is pushing some pretty extreme diet fads. And you know, that's not my style. "I want a friend to get professional help for weight loss and related health issues," wrote a third person. "Do you offer private consultations?" All of these folks have really good intentions. They're motivated by a sincere concern and a desire to help. And it means a lot to me that they place their trust in me. But you know what? I try not to give advice to people that haven't sought my help themselves, because the reality is there really isn't much I or their loved ones can do to change someone who is not yet ready. In truth, even people who say they're ready to change often aren't. They'd like for things to be different, but they're not yet willing to do or to not do what it would take to create a different result. And until they are ready, it really doesn't matter how much information you make available or how many obstacles you remove or how easy you make it. Change requires a powerful desire and an ongoing commitment. It's just not something you can do for someone else. And believe me, I've tried. And once people have decided to make a change, trust me, they will find their own way to the information, tools, and resources they need. If they want your input or advice or mine, they'll ask for it. And look, we can't worry about whether the information they find is right or not. If it doesn't work, they'll keep looking. And also keep in mind that the things that motivate and work for them may be different than what works for you or for me. Now, once someone you care about has made that commitment to a healthier lifestyle, there's a lot you can do to support them. For example, don't bring unhealthy foods into the house. Offer to watch the kids so that they can go to a regular exercise class. Think of ways to spend time together that don't revolve around eating or snacking. Be understanding about the occasional grouchiness or bad mood, because you know what? Change is difficult. Don't second-guess their methods or offer them unsolicited advice or coaching. And finally, don't be afraid to ask what they would find helpful. Just remember to listen and then respond to the answer they give you. I also wanted to circle back to part of Alyssa's question. She asked for tips for people who are just starting out on the healthy eating journey. And maybe some of you listening are here because you're just starting out on that path. So for you, here are a few thoughts on how to get started, because I know there is a lot of information out there and it can get really overwhelming really fast. There are so many nutrients that you might be deficient in, so many exotic foods that are supposed to fight this or that condition or reduce your risk. And then there's all the dangers, right? The toxic ingredients or the special ways that foods must be prepared or combined in order to retain their nutrient value. And you know what? Part of this is just the reality of the information economy. In order to keep your attention, news needs to remain new. And so a lot of the research that makes the evening news or the internet sites is preliminary research that's not really ready for prime time. It's an initial finding in rats or in 5-20-year-old athletes that requires more research or doesn't even translate into actionable advice. And of course, an even better way to get attention in a very noisy media environment is to come up with an approach that's completely contrary to the conventional wisdom, like declaring that eating grains is bad for your brain, or that saturated fat is really, really good for you, or that eating meat will give you cancer, or that beans and legumes are full of toxins. And each of those ideas, by the way, was promoted in books that spent months on the New York Times bestseller list. I'm not saying that we should never challenge the conventional wisdom, because sometimes it is wrong, or at least evolving. But subtlety, common sense, and moderation don't sell. And as a result, people who challenge the conventional wisdom often end up going a bit overboard, going to extremes, throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And a lot of the popular conversation around nutrition has devolved into highly polarized camps that spend a lot of energy attacking one another. All of this is just to say that I really feel for the average layperson who just wants to eat healthy and doesn't have time to make it a full-time job. The good news is that all of the dangers and the threats are not nearly as dangerous and threatening as they're made out to be. But by the same token, the magical powers of this berry or that tea or that herb to cure and prevent all that ails us have also been exaggerated. A healthy diet is really a lot less complex and difficult than we tend to think. It really comes down to just a few guidelines that can be summed up in a few sentences. And you've heard me say these sentences lots of times, but to review, eat as many different kinds of vegetables and fruits as you can. Eat a variety of legumes and whole grains to promote the growth of healthy gut bacteria. Get most of your fats from healthy sources like nuts, avocado, olive oil, and fish. And of course, limit your intake of added sugars, refined grains, alcohol, fried food, and highly processed foods. It is okay to enjoy any or all of those things occasionally, but maybe not all of them every day. And if you want an easy way to keep track of all of those things, the Nutrition GPA app is a free smartphone app that can help you do exactly that. You'll find it in your app store. And one final thought for those who want to help their loved ones eat healthy. While unsolicited advice is usually not very effective, don't underestimate the power of modeling those healthy choices and make it look easy and fun, not strict or stressful. I want to thank all of you who have shared the Nutrition Diva podcast with your friends and family. And to all of you longtime listeners, I'm so grateful for your support and your enthusiasm. And I have just a quick housekeeping note. We're making some changes in how we distribute the Quick and Dirty Tips podcasts. And starting this week, transcripts for the shows and links to any resources I mention will be found on our new show page. And that's at nutrition-diva.simplecast.com and not at quickanddirtytips.com, where you may have been accustomed to look for them in the past. You'll also find a link to each episode's show notes and transcript in whatever app you're using to listen to the show right now. And of course, you can still reach me by email at nutrition@quickanddirtytips.com. I always love to hear from you. The Nutrition Diva Show is a Quick and Dirty Tips podcast. It's audio engineered by Nathan Semmes, and our team at Macmillan Audio also includes Adam Cecil, Davina Tomlin, Morgan Christensen, and our intern, Brendan Pika. Thanks so much for listening, and remember to eat something good for me.